We have just a few minutes, and I believe the Lord has given me something that's just a few minutes. So, Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful to be here. We are thankful to be able to gather, as has been said and prayed in many ways today, that we gather in your name and according to your life within us, and we bring life together. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are leading us, that you are our shepherd. Lord, that your eye does not wander from us, and you are faithful, Lord, to protect and to feed and to water and all the things, Lord, that we need, and protect us. Lord, we are grateful, and Lord, we are grateful even when we aren't grateful. Help us, Lord, and in your precious name. Amen. I spoke earlier this morning, read out of chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles about Asa, who was king, son of David. And he is the first king in the series of kings that our brother Ed has given us scriptures on. And this morning, Paul shared in the kitchen while we were there that our brother Ed is seeing more and more about this, and it's not exactly the way he presented earlier, but there is still time. It'll probably continue to grow in a mighty way. But the point and the thing that has struck me and has guided my prayer and preparation in time for Joshua is the words that resound throughout these passages that a king did as his father David, or he did not walk in the ways of his father David. And of course, David was a man after God's heart. He knew God's heart. He established his kingdom, and he did much to bring about in Israel the things needed for the Messiah. And he was bearing the seed of the Messiah. And just on it goes. There are way too many things to talk about. And that's the point of my remarks here, is that this is, if you look at it with the world's eyes and you try to understand what's being said here in human terms, it's confusing. And I had an opportunity to just briefly meet with Brother Ed and Tom as they were studying over at Ed's house. I was sent over to pick something up, and they tried to kidnap me, but I escaped. Anyway, Brother Tom shared something that is true about these chapters. If you've tried to read them, they don't fit together chronologically. And it's kind of interesting that some things are said before, you know, that took place before, and not, you know, it's kind of out of order. And there's a lot of things that are happening here. And what I want to talk about this morning in particular, because it has really, I truly believe this is what the Lord is desiring to share with us at Joshua. And what he shares with us all the time is, of course, our Lord Jesus and visions, or almost jewels. They're like little compact things that you see the Lord in, you know? And it's not that I'm going to confuse you, so let me be still. In these chapters, there are things about these kings that are the king Asa, Jehoshaphat, Azariah or Uzziah, Hezekiah and Joash, there are marvelous things that God does with them, through them, in them, for his people and for us to see. And there are also nasty things. Wrong things. They made mistakes. They did things that they shouldn't have done. And you don't quite know why. And they're kind of parallel passages in Kings and in Chronicles about these kings that are, you know, don't say the same thing. And so if you look at it in just the words that are being said, one king is, talks about Asa. You know, he loved and served the Lord all his life. And, well, not exactly. In the other account, it says that he didn't, that he turned from the Lord. And he didn't just turn from the Lord. He turned from the Lord, and when the Lord struck him with this disease of his feet, he didn't turn to the Lord. As Jeff said, he turned to the physicians, and he died. Don't get lost in all that. Trust in what the Lord is saying. Trust in what he is telling us about himself, what he's telling us about what was part of David, the keys of David, I think. You know, as you were, your dream, and the keys of David that's mentioned. And if you want to talk to Hope about her dream, that's fine. I'll sic 'em on you. I won't try to explain it. Anyway, the jewel that I want to share with you is the crystal begins in these verses in chapter 15. But let me give you some background in case you haven't read this. Abijah was the father of King Asa, and Abijah was not a good king, but he also wasn't a terrible king. And Asa comes, and the kingdom had been established. The kingdom of Judah had been established, and there had been war with Israel. And the Lord had given Abijah victory over Israel, and had really crushed them. And so when Asa came to the throne, there was a period of 10 years where there was peace all around. And, of course, it wasn't just because of what had happened to Israel. Israel, of course, was throughout these times, Israel was at war often, most of the time with, just like I mentioned about going to Scotland, the Scots were at war with themselves or somebody all the time. For hundreds of years. Well, the same thing was happening here. Israel, the brothers of the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, were fighting. And there was a time of peace. When Asa came to the throne, there was a time of peace. And God maintained that peace. He caused that peace to be for 10 years. And Asa is attacked. Israel is attacked, not by Israel, but it's attacked by Ethiopia. And they came with 1 million men. And it wasn't quite the odds that Gideon faced. It wasn't quite the odds that Abraham faced. You might recall Abraham went out with 300 men, and maybe that doesn't count all a few others that came with him, but he didn't go out with a huge army, but he went out against a huge army. Asa faced, basically with 500,000 men, he faced 1 million men in Ethiopia, but he knew he was in trouble, and he went to the Lord, and the Lord gave them victory. And he gave them tremendous victory. He gave them the kind of victory that Abraham had. Just wiped them out, and they were crushed. They were not able. They withdrew, and they had to rebuild the nation because they'd lost so many people, also many soldiers. And so Asa was a man of God. He trusted in the Lord. He called upon the Lord. He was doing the things that God wanted to do, doing the things that his father David would have done. He removed the high places and the incense altars. This is in chapter 14. From all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was undisturbed under him. And he built fortified cities. He did the things that kings do. He was a good king. And then he has this war with the Ethiopians, they just wipe him out. And when they return from that, and it seems, I don't know that this is exactly the case, as I said earlier, but in chapter 15, it seems like, almost like Melchizedek came, as he came to Abraham. And I think we can interpret it as it's the same event, that he comes back and he is victorious. And not only victorious, but he's rich. Richer than he went out. I mean, hugely. Is that a word? He was, you know, they came back with all sorts of stuff. And Azariah comes forth as a prophet and speaks to him. And he says, "Listen to me, Asa," and so I'll read these again. I read this earlier. "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And so, let me just read the rest of this. And for many days, he's speaking of the past. "Many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel." This is what was happening, I believe, with Asa. He turned to the Lord God. His father, Abijah, sort of turned, but Asa did turn. And he was recapturing that they were God's people. He was moving in that direction. He was taking steps to come back to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of David. And let me go down to verse 7. This is what you were asking about, Kirk. "But you," speaking to Asa, "be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work." So Asa was seeking to reestablish the kingdom, of David. And he took it to heart. I mean, this was not just something that he did for convenience. It was not just something that he didn't just pray and seek the Lord because the Ethiopian, he had an army of 1 million men coming against his 500,000. I mean, that's certainly something we would pray about. But that wasn't the reason that he turned. His heart turned. It goes on, it says, "Now when Asa heard these words and the prophecy with Azariah, the son of Obed, the prophet spoke, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He then restored the altar of the Lord, which was in front of the porch of the Lord." So there were things he hadn't done yet, but he had started this back in the early part of this chapter, at least if you can trust the sequence is chronological. He was taking down the foreign altars in verse 3 and commanded them to seek the Lord. And he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. So he continues that work and he does it more thoroughly. And he restores the altar of the Lord, which is in front of the porch of the Lord. When Israel turned away from the Lord, when Israel's eyes drifted, they left the house of the Lord to fall into ruin. And so he was restoring that. And we see that again with the other kings. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who resided with them, for many defected to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him, being Asa. So they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign, and they sacrificed to the Lord that day 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep from the spoil that they had brought. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. That's pretty serious. Whether small or great, man or woman. Moreover, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice and shouting, with trumpets and with horns, and all Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart and had sought him earnestly, and he let them find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. And he also removed Maacah, I don't know how you pronounce that, the mother of King Asa, from the position of queen mother, because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah. And Asa cut down her horrid image, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was blameless all his days. And he brought into the house of God the dedicated things of his father and his own dedicated things, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. Asa reigned for 41 years, and the first 10 years of his reign have just been described. And it's not 100% clear how long these events of this war took place and the aftermath and the cleaning up of after it. But there were 10 years of peace and quiet, and there wasn't anybody on the borders until Ethiopia attacked them. What I want to point out here, and I believe this is one of these things that is a key of David. And when I talk about a key of David, I don't know what I'm talking about, because it's very unclear in the scripture. It's in a lot of places. They're keys, and they're things that are spoken of, keys of the kingdom of heaven the Lord speaks of, the key of David. The Lord Jesus is holding the key of David. I have the key of David in Revelation. In Isaiah, speaks about the keys of David. Now, I may be completely wrong in this, but I believe the heart is true, that the keys of David are the things that opened the things that David saw, the things that David knew of God, that opened up the doors through which he saw the Lord. Okay? Now, again, I know a lot of people talk about the keys of David, and there are lots of things about that, but I believe, you know, in the scripture in Revelation, chapter 3, he speaks about, I have opened a door that no man may shut. And he also talks about having the keys. And in the first part in chapter 1, he says, I have the key of David. What I believe is a key of David in these verses that I've just read is just exactly what Azariah the prophet said to Asa. And that is, and I say it's a key of David because David did it all the time. He sought the Lord. He wanted to see the Lord. And so this is true. Azariah says, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That is a pivotal point in David as a leader, as a believer in God. He constantly was putting himself before the Lord. He was constantly seeking the Lord. When he fell away and returned to the Lord. That was a key, to me, a key of David. That was how he lived. That was how he became the person that he was, the revered father, the revered king. He sought the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And he did what the Lord told him to do when he was told. When he was punished, he trusted the Lord. He didn't, you know, when he was given the choice of three, and I didn't look this up, he had counted the people and he'd sinned. And God said, I'm going to, sorry, I've got to punish you. What do you choose? And he chose wisely. He chose that the people would not be hurt. He loved God. He loved God's people. And so Asa hears this, and it is restored. This key is turned. This lock is opened, and the door opens, and he sees into heaven, and he is propelled to do the work of the Lord that he had started, to clean up the high places and to get rid of things and to reestablish the house, reestablish the worship, reestablish the sacrifices, and they rejoice. This was not Passover that they were celebrating. They were excited. The whole people, everybody was carried away by what God had done for them and what the prophet had told them, what God had revealed to them about himself, how he had preserved them, how he had taken care of them, and how he would continue to take care of them. And so, they have this, all these sacrifices, and I'm not sure if this is the one that says that. If you read these scriptures and quickly, you can go through them fairly quickly if you don't try to sort everything out. But this happens over and over again with these five kings. This same kind of thing happens over and over again. And they're not all the same, but there's something about, the Lord is active and working, and he wants us to see him, and he does things so that we do see him. Just like, Brother Jay and our prayer for him today. He wants the Lord wants to be shown in your life. And I know you want him to be shown in your life. So many things that happen to us that cause us to see. He wants us to know. He wants us to seek him. And if we will, he will let us find him. He wants us to find him. As our brother Ed says, he wants to much more than we possibly could. Doesn't say that here, but it's true. True nonetheless. And so, it's hard to go on. They were so excited about what the Lord had done. They were so filled with the joy and worship of the Lord that they were willing to take an oath that those who would not worship the Lord, those who would seek after other gods, they would kill. That's what Moses, when Moses came down from the mountain and the people had risen up, they were following another god. They were calling it, they were calling him Jehovah. They were calling him God, but they wanted something they could see. They were following an idol that they were calling, they were taking God's name in vain. And the Levites waded into them with their swords out and killed thousands. This is the same spirit, the same heart here for the things of God. And even the Queen Mother, she must have been a horrid person, but she was of the time. She was how all these things happened. I mean, it was that spirit that, why did they drift away from God? Well, because they got into all this other stuff and they tried to worship idols made of wood, gods that were represented by things. And Asa wasn't having it. He had put up with it for 10 years, but he wasn't having it anymore. And she was removed from the position, and he destroyed what she was worshiping. Now, I think it's a really interesting, and I'd be thrilled to hear what somebody comes up with to enlighten on this. I don't understand. No, I do. I do understand. I don't see it clearly why Asa fell away. 35 years, well, he'd been king for 10 years, had 10 years of peace. There had been some interval there, a few years, I'm going to guess, that took place while this was attacked by Ethiopia, and he does this cleansing, further cleansing of Israel. But for another 20 years, probably, maybe more, maybe it was 25, I don't know, maybe the 10 years included it, but the fact was, he had peace for that time. And for some reason, he turned away from the Lord. And, you know, there's all sorts of speculation I can make about that. It doesn't tell us. At least I don't see it here. It may be other places where it's more clear. But Asa drifted away from the Lord. And he drifted so far that when he was struck with this disease, he didn't turn like, I think it was Hezekiah. He didn't turn to the Lord. He struck out at the prophets who spoke against him, said why he had this disease. And threw him in jail. And even though the disease was severe, even though the physicians couldn't help him, he refused to turn back to the Lord. What? How could that be? Well,
he was enraged.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He was,
yeah.
He
and that's a sign, because I know in me, when I'm caught and I know I'm doing wrong, I'm very easily enraged to stand up for myself. You know, have you ever done that? But this isn't about me. This is about what God is doing. It doesn't tell us, but Asa did drift away. And it's so, you know, we look at it, it's so unfortunate, but it's a warning. And I think there's another fact about that too. That even though he drifted away, God knew his heart. God knew what was happening. God felt the chill, that the fire had dwindled. And so he sent the prophet, and he sent the disease, because he wanted Asa to return. He didn't want him to die the way he died, not loving the Lord, angry with his God's prophet. He wanted him to return. But he didn't. So it's, I don't know all that the Lord wants to show us, but I do know that one of these keys, in my understanding, is that if we will seek him, we will find him. And, you know, Asa lived out this in this prophecy in its entirety, didn't he? He said, if you seek him, he will let you find him, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The Lord did forsake him, and he left him. But he didn't leave. You know, when God does these things, he's not doing it to punish. He's doing it to restore. You know, it's just like in Matthew, the things that the Lord tells us to do when someone sins. It's not to punish them. You don't put people out of the fellowship. You know, what Paul did in Corinthians. You don't put them out to punish them. You put them out to restore. And, you know, Paul was so clear in 2 Corinthians. You know, you can't leave him out there. If he repents, bring him back. Restore him. God wants to do that. God wants you to take him back in. You know, we want to say, well, I trusted him once, but I'm not going to trust him again. Please. Lord, don't judge me that way. I would not survive. Lord, we are thankful. Thankful for your word. We are thankful for your heart from the beginning, from before the foundations of the world, you have known us. You knew Asa. You knew all these people. You know all these things. You've laid them down and they ring true throughout the ages. Lord, you are revealing yourself through the things that you do, through your people. Lord, through your church. Help us, Lord. Help us to be ready. Help us to be the bride that you want us to be. Lord, show us. Open the doors that no man may shut. Exercise these keys. Help us to know how to use the keys that you have given us to open the doors of heaven. Thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name.